Good morning, Montana. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. This is your guest host again, Courtney Kibblewhite, joining you today, filling in for Tom Schultz. And we've got a pretty exciting show today. We are thrilled to have candidate for U.S. Senate, former University of Montana President Seth Bodner with us today. Seth, how are you doing? You've been all over the state lately.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Courtney. It's so great to be back with you and see the team here. It's a beautiful day in Billings.
Yeah, well, wanted to jump right in, and it's funny. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your tenure at University of Montana, because you've been well known for that position, and then you know, I think about, well, now you're running for Senate, and you probably want both Cats and Grizz votes, so we're not going to spend too much time on that. But tell us, was it a difficult decision to decide to leave that post?
Yeah, look, I mean, I loved my work at the University of Montana, and I'd say that. I'd apply that to the work of the Montana system, Montana University system more broadly. You know, I as we joked about earlier, I am married to a bobcat. I maybe had to keep that a little quiet when I was at the University of Montana. You know, the thing about the university system is that it is all about providing opportunity for Montanans, you know, providing pathways to jobs, to careers, to building lives and families right here in our great state. And I love the work, and we made great progress. You know, we took a university that was in a significant enrollment decline in the last 5 years, five straight years of enrollment growth. We grew our graduation rates and improved them by a third. We doubled our research output. We were named the number one military-friendly university in the country during the past 8 years. And so it was a wonderful job. I loved working with my colleagues across the Montana University system. And it's a hard job to leave.
Yeah. Well, you did a lot of work there, and we're grateful for that. I guess I'd go right in to ask you, how long had you been thinking about entering into politics, and how did that decision come about?
Well, you know, it was a relatively rapid decision. You know, I think as I've been squarely focused on our work at the university, again, I love that work. But, you know, I've become deeply, you know, concerned about the direction of the country. You know, my wife and I are, she's a fifth generation Montanan. We have three kids who are the sixth generation in their family to grow up in this great state. And I think we're on a path to hand over a country to them that is less prosperous, less secure, more divided, more in debt than the country we grew up in. And I decided that my wife and I jointly decided that, you know, it's maybe time to step into the fray and try to do something about that. And, you know, there was some speculation that I might think about this, or I was thinking about this, and that was in January. We hadn't decided, but I really wanted to avoid having any politics come anywhere near the University of Montana, because we worked really hard to have a nonpartisan approach there. And so I decided to step down from my role in late January and think about whether or not we wanted to do this for a month. And ultimately, we made the decision and announced on March 4th.
And I would say, you know, not a huge shock to everyone that you would run, a former Green Beret, somebody who's led GE, led teams across the world. But to choose to run as an independent was perhaps surprising to many of us. Yeah. Share how that decision came about.
Well, you know, at the age of 18, I raised my right hand and swore an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America when I joined the U.S. military. And I swore an oath not to a party, but to this country. That's the way we led in the military. At the University of Montana, I worked closely with a Democratic governor. I worked closely with Governor Gianforte. You know, I worked closely with Republican legislators, with Democratic legislators. And our focus was on the mission. Our focus was on serving the young people of Montana, the people of all ages of this great state, and creating opportunity. And what I found in that role is that when you could put partisan politics aside, you could actually get stuff done. And I see a country today where things aren't getting done. I see a country today where our representatives are spending most of their time attacking each other, dividing us, distracting us, while Montanans continue to suffer from soaring costs. You know, diesel's more than $5 a gallon. The costs of housing continue to soar. Healthcare, the national debt just this past week exceeded the size of our economic output as a country. So our debt is more than we're producing each year. And we're not talking about those problems. We have elected leaders who are spending so much time fighting about winning the next election that they're losing the next generation. And I think we need a new approach to politics in this country.
Well, we've already got callers coming in. We're going to go to Pat in Stevensville here shortly, but wanted to push back a little bit on that choice to run as an independent, Seth. I was doing a little research in University of Virginia. Talked about, I was curious, how many people have really run as an independent?
Yeah.
So since 1913, it said 1,900 popular elections in the United States, 18 individuals have won, which makes that less than 1%. I'm not a betting person, but, you know, usually that's a pretty good odds if you were to bet against that. How does that factor into your decision?
Well, you know, look, 250 years ago, some brave souls on this continent declared their independence from a governing system that wasn't working for them. And I'm asking Montanans to join me today in declaring their independence from the toxic partisanship that is poisoning this country, that's ripping us apart, and is preventing us from addressing the very real challenges that are facing Montana families. And, you know, the largest voting block in Montana by some surveys is independents. You know, I was saying this, I think, you know, to make a football comparison, you know, most of us live politically somewhere between the 30-yard lines, but our politics, so maybe, you know, you might be on the 45-yard line on the left side, maybe I'm on the 45 on the right, but we're only 10, 15 yards apart. But our politics nationally is driven by people at the 2-yard line.
Sure.
On both sides, and we need more options.
Well, let's go ahead and go first to Pat in Stevensville. She's got a question for you, Seth. Pat, go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, Seth, thank you for doing what you did for the university. And I just have a question for you. Running as an independent, 80% of your funding is coming from Act Blue, which is a Democratic funding organization. And they're being investigated by the federal government for foreign untraceable donors, fraudulent contributions. So why are you running and accepting most of your donations from a Democratic organization and not just running as a Democrat?
Well, thanks, Pat. I mean, you've identified one of the challenges for independents is that the infrastructure, so fundraising infrastructure, messaging infrastructure, it's dominated by parties. And to be clear, I'd love to be on Win Red. We were able to get on Act Blue as a platform to accept donations. Act Blue doesn't fund anything. That's just an online platform through which people can donate. We also have a nonpartisan platform called Anadot. And we have a lot of people that are donating through that. But you've identified one of the challenges to breaking up this duopoly of American politics today.
Do you have significant conservative donors as well in your
In fact, in the last number of weeks, it's been, you know, one of the great things about this campaign is we're able to have, you know, when you don't put on a jersey for either of these teams, you're able to talk to people across the political spectrum and hear their ideas and thoughts. You know, I had I spoke at a Kiwanis breakfast a couple weeks ago, and after I spoke, gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I've never voted for somebody who's not a Democrat. And I really appreciate your approach. You got my full support. Next guy came up and said, I'm a staunch Republican. But I'm very frustrated by the direction of this country. I've never voted for somebody who's not a Republican, but I'm supporting you. And then the third person came up. I started talking to them. The coolest part about this story was not what they said to me, but then that Democrat and that Republican started talking to each other.
Hmm.
And they said, you know, we're actually not all that far apart. We might disagree on some things, but we can disagree civilly. And we can agree that we love this state and we love this country and that we need to move forward. And so I've told people, I think one of the big problems in politics today is that our elected leaders are supposed to represent the people of this state. But what happens is they go to D.C. and they put a jersey on, a blue one with a D, a red one with an R, and that becomes the team they fight for. That's wrong. I'm not going to put on a jersey of either of these two teams. I'm going to put a jersey with an M on it. Maybe it's half blue and half blue and gold, half maroon and silver. but I'm going to represent Montana. That's the brand I'm riding for, and that's the type of leadership I think Montanans deserve.
Well, I appreciate Pat's question because that does always, you always ask, you know, follow the money trail. That's something that we always kind of think about. So could I ask, did any of these donations spur your decision to actually jump in? Because the reality is it takes a lot of money to run a national election. And you mentioned on your website you're from your parents are school teachers, so yeah. I don't know your personal situation, but you don't come across as somebody who's from long-term family money. So mm-hmm. was there a conversation or conversations with particular donors that made you say, okay, I can do this, I've got enough support to jump in? And if so, were those from a specific party?
No, I mean the decision was with my wife and in the future of this country that we're leaving for our kids. And frankly, one of the decisions that pushed me over the edge was actually with a West Point classmate of mine.
Oh, wow.
And we were talking and he effectively said to me, look, this is hard, right? Mm-hmm. It's scary. I quit my job. I have three kids and I quit my job because we wanted to think about this. And ultimately he said to me, you know, man, look, we didn't go to West Point. We didn't serve this country and we didn't watch our friends die over the past 25 years to stand aside as we watch our country descend into chaos. And a lot of people have given far more than what we're doing right now in terms of jumping into a political race. And this country matters.
Yeah. You know?
And I think we have to stand up. We have to fight for it. We have to push for a better way because Montana families, you know, Montana farmers, Montana ranchers, Montana business owners, they're not being served by the current political system. You know, 90% of Americans in a recent survey said they disapprove of Congress. My question is, who are the 10% and who approve? And I think we need a better way.
Well, we'll go ahead and go to another question. I know a lot of folks want to talk to you, and yeah. I appreciate the access that you're giving to our audience today. If you do want to call in, it's 866-627-5483. We'll try and take as many of them as we can while Seth is here. So we'll go ahead and go to Skip in Hamilton. Skip, good morning. What's your question for Seth?
And good morning, ma'am. And Seth,
Skip, it's good
on.
To hear you. I think I saw you on Tuesday.
Yes, sir. We shook hands on Tuesday, and you got up and you had some things to say at a wonderful meeting that Hudson and Company put together about our Sheep Creek Mine situation. And thank you for making the trip there. And I first thank you for your dedication and service to our military. And I have something to ask you about that I thought somebody just has to get it off of the table so that we know where you stand, sir. And it has to do with sports. And
yep.
It has to do with anatomical men in their minds a different persuasion playing in girls' sports. And so could I ask you, where do you stand on that as time goes on and how did you feel about it as university president? And how do you think you would handle it as a United States senator with anything that would come up legislatively having to do with that issue? And I knew you would give us an honest answer. And the way that you answer questions is just get right to it and
yep.
give us an answer.
And yeah, look, thank you, Skip. I appreciate the question. And I think first and foremost, I'd say two things. One is every human being deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. You know, we're all God's children. Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. Every American deserves to be protected from discrimination. You can say and believe both those things as I do, while also believing that we need to have fairness in sports. And we've seen the NCAA, the IOC, change the regulations that were in place. And I think that's appropriate. And I think other leagues should follow sort, and we should see, we need to ensure fairness in sports and in competition. And, you know, as a university president, you know, my job is to make sure that the university is compliant with the current NCAA policies. And I did that when I was the president. That's what the president should do right now. We do not want the president of the University of Montana or MSU to withdraw the Grizzlies or the Bobcats from the NCAA and cause a $100 million economic impact to this state. But again, we've seen the NCAA adapt their rules and the IOC adapt their rules to ensure fairness. And as a university president, you comply with those rules.
Well, thank you for answering that question, Seth. It's kind of fascinating when you have somebody who's running as an independent, when they're either blue or red, you kind of assume a great amount of things about how they may think about an issue. And it's interesting to have the conversation from the perspective of, I don't know what you think about this.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate your willingness to be able to do that. If people have other questions related to how Seth thinks about something,
well, I think this is the way democracy is supposed to work.
Sure,
me, right?
Sure. We should be asking questions and talking.
I am on a 7-month audition for I'm on a 7-month job interview to work for you, to work for the people of Montana. And I think we're in a place in this country where we have too many of our elected leaders think they work for their party. And as we've seen just in even the past weeks, this kind of ongoing, seemingly endless cycle of gerrymandering, where we're going to have less than 10%, maybe 5% of our House districts nationally that are actually competitive in the general election. So 90 to 95% of our members of the U.S. House of Representatives, the election's decided in the primary months before November. And what's that mean? Well, that means that people who vote in the primaries typically are more at the extreme ends of the parties. And we get candidates who feel like they answer to a very small subset of the electorate and to their party leadership. And that's taking power away from we the people. And so that's my commitment. As I go around this state, I'm going to answer every question. I might not always have all the right answers, all the right knowledge, but I'm going to answer it honestly, and I'm going to answer it forthrightly. And there are going to be people who support me. There are going to be people who don't. But I guarantee you this, that if elected, I'm going to work just as hard for people who didn't vote for me as I do for my strongest supporters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly agree with the importance of the conversation and being able to have a lot of times we don't know the answers, but through a conversation, through communication, we can get to something that everybody can agree on. And I'm sure that you would understand the hesitancy and the fear that probably has come up from both sides, whether it be the left or the right, on if we vote this person into Congress, how do we know how they're going to think about something?
Yep.
And what if it's the one issue that really matters to me, that if they're to the right or to the left, I have a good understanding of where they're going to be, but I just don't know what they're going to say in the middle. Can you talk a little bit more about how you would make that decision? Because I do think there's a number of questions that I've heard related to how is Seth going to caucus? That's something we want our Montana senator to be on an important committee and all of those things. So when people ask you that question, well, if we elect you in there, Seth, how would you caucus?
Yeah, well, I've said publicly, and we released a reform agenda that I'm happy to talk about, that I will not caucus with either party. And I'm gonna work over the next 6 months to earn the support of people across the political spectrum here in Montana. And when I get to the U.S. Senate, I'm gonna negotiate for assignments and for roles that give the loudest and strongest voice for the people of this great state. And either way, any scenario, we don't know how the Senate elections are going to go, but it's going to be a closely divided U.S. Senate, and one vote matters a lot. And an independent standing up for Montana in the U.S. Senate will have a lot of influence and a lot of potential impact for the people of this great state, and also can be a voice to help advocate and bring forward common sense solutions on some of the issues we're facing. Whether that's immigration reform. I mean, Americans need comprehensive immigration reform. Mm. There are solutions out there that aren't being acted upon because it's being used as an electoral issue that people want to fight over. Mm-hmm. But we can agree that we need strong borders, that we need to enforce our immigration policies. We can agree that we need to make sure that American citizens' individual liberties aren't trampled upon when we're enforcing those. We can agree that we should have clear pathways to being here legally and earning citizenship. And over time, that's important for our workforce. That's important for the entrepreneurial spirit of the country. There's so much that we can agree upon. Comprehensive immigration reform is within reach. It's a lack of political will that is causing that to happen. We talked about the Farm Bill. Mm. Last Farm Bill was passed in 2018, 8 years, 8 years since the last Farm Bill. And when you talk about food security, that's a critically important thing for this country. Why can't we pass a Farm Bill? It's crazy to me And we need...
Almost as if we can't talk to each other in order to get it to happen, to be honest. But
So that's the one thing I'll say to Montanans is that there is no ambiguity over who is the master that I'm serving. Mm-hmm. It is the people of this state. And that's the difference between me and every other candidate in this race, is that I ride for one brand, mm-hmm. the people of Montana, and other candidates can't say that.
Well, I don't want to miss this opportunity to get your thoughts on the war in Iran. A former Green Beret, you've served in active duty for many years, so I will certainly ask you that question. If you've got specific questions about Seth that you want to know where he stands on one issue or another, nothing's off the table. Feel free to call in at 866-627-5483. We've got about 10 more minutes with Seth, and then he's got to scoot off to the next thing. So Seth, tell us about how you feel about that war in Iran. You were on the ground in Iraq.
Yeah. And thank you, Courtney. This is a, anyone who doesn't recognize the serious threat that Iran poses isn't paying attention. You know, the Iranian regime and its proxies has been responsible for the death of friends of mine. At the same time, it is vitally important that if we're going to send American sons and daughters into harm's way, we need to make sure that three things are abundantly clear. One is, why is this an imminent threat? Two is, what is our strategy? And three is, what is our exit plan? We haven't seen those. The American people haven't seen those. And the other thing that's really clear in the Constitution is that it is the role of Congress to declare war. And we need Congress to step up and do its job. This is a very, very serious decision to send Americans into harm's way. We've lost 14 service members. We've had hundreds injured. And sometimes it's easy to gloss over those injured numbers. Some of those injuries are catastrophic. You know, friends of mine that you've seen lost limbs. Those count as injuries. Those are life-changing injuries. And it is a incredibly grave decision to send Americans into harm's way. That's why the founders gave that responsibility to Congress as a co-equal branch of government. Congress needs to step up and do its job and making it clear to the American people why we are in this war. We don't have a clear strategy. We don't know what the exit plan is. Not only are we losing lives, we're seeing Montana families continue to feel the effects of this. You know, diesel's over $5 a gallon. I think I saw $5.49 driving in today. Fertilizer prices are up 35% to 50%. You know, Montana farmers that were already struggling. I heard yesterday from a banker here in Billings that the right word to describe the situation for the ag community today is crisis. Mm. And who's up fighting for them? That's farm bankruptcies are up 46% last year compared to the year before. Who's up banging the drum, fighting for our farmers, our ranches, our Montana families who are really struggling to make ends meet? We need our elected representatives to do their job.
What about the Ukraine-Russia conflict that is still ongoing? Would you have voted to continue funding that war? You know, knowing that, talk about another system that's broken in the United States, our healthcare system.
Yep. Look, we need to stand with people who are defending freedom, and it is a slippery slope when you allow a wannabe tyrant like Vladimir Putin. And let's be clear about who he is. He is a wannabe tyrant, and we have to stand with Ukraine and pushing back against this Russian invasion. And you know, this country used to stand very strong, and we think about Ronald Reagan, who said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." We saw Americans, you know, of both parties, stand up to the Soviet threat. It's a Russian threat. Vladimir Putin is an absolute threat, and we need to stand with Ukraine.
So if you are elected in to serve in the Senate, are there specific committees where you feel like you would be best suited?
You know, it's one of the things I'm working through right now. I'm a baseball player. I played baseball in college, and you know, I don't like to jinx things. So I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse. But, you know, the issues that are important, you know, when it's energy, agriculture, obviously defense, veteran affairs, those types of issues are important to me. And that's something I'm going to work through over the coming months here.
Sure. So, folks, we've got five more minutes with Seth Bodner, candidate for U.S. Senate, independent candidate. Seth, I guess as we wrap up our conversation today, and certainly we welcome calls, the phone number 866-627-543. If we're not getting to questions that that you're curious about, it's not automatic that an independent candidate would end up on our ballot.
Yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about what that process has looked like and where are you at in making your way to the ballot officially?
Yeah, look, this is a great part of our system. You know, as an independent candidate, you get on the ballot by going out and talking to individual Montanans and collecting signatures. And we're on a path to collect 13,327 signatures. That's the threshold. And we've been working on that. And I think it's a great thing that we have to get signatures to get on the ballot. That's the way democracy should work. The people should have the say of who gets on the ballot, not party insiders, you know, anointing people to be on a ballot. The people get to decide. And it's been a great process where we're out learning and listening to voters, hearing their concerns. And we're on track, and we're going to have a big push over the coming few weeks as we lead up to the end of this month and get those signatures turned in. But it's been a great process of collecting those signatures.
Well, we've heard a lot about election fraud in the last few years. Do those signatures have to be verified, and what's that process?
Yeah, we turn them in the county election offices, and the county election officials, you know, validate those signatures, and they go into a voter file, or they go into a file that the Secretary of State validates.
Do they have to do the birth date on the envelope, or
put all your information on the line and on the signatures, and then the county election officials verify that, and we're getting far more than the threshold requirement, because some do get invalidated. Either there's something wrong with the signature, or it's illegible, and those things happen. So there'll be some that they will say, okay, we can't count that signature. So we're going to get more than the required to make
and
sure.
And what is the required threshold? Is it 15,000?
13,327.
Okay.
To Alrighty. Be precise.
Right. And if people are listening and they like what you're saying, they want to sign, can they sign online to have
No,
you?
It's got to be in person. Okay. And I would, but they can see on our website, you know, www.sethformontana.com. That has an events page that shows where we'll have people out and about around the state. We got people in Billings today, over in Missoula, Helena, we have people up in Whitefish at the marathon this weekend. So, you know, we're asking Montanans, hey, declare your independence. You know, from a political system that's not working well for us. And I want to be clear that, you know, folks, if you want to sign that petition, it's not a commitment to vote for me. Mm-hmm. It's just a petition to get our campaign on the ballot so we can have a robust debate about the best way forward for this country.
So if somebody wants to sign it, what would you tell them to do?
Look on our website, sethformontana.com. You can see events, and there are places where you can go. I also... Anybody wants to help collect signatures, you can go to the volunteer link on the page, and our team will reach out to you. You have some training, and you can collect, and we've had people do that. You know, one of the great things and really moving things has been people that I don't know that are out there collecting signatures. A Vietnam vet, I was just telling you earlier that somebody who served this country, I saw him on Tuesday in Bozeman. He said, you know, I've been out every day collecting signatures for you because I care deeply about this country, and we need a different approach. And so it's been a really meaningful process of collecting signatures.
I can't imagine how humbling it must be to hear something like that, somebody investing their time and energy because they believe in you. Well, Seth, we're wrapping up. We've just got a few seconds to go. We are so grateful to have you here today. Is there any liner you'd like to leave for our audience?
Yeah, thank you, Courtney, and thank you to all the listeners for being engaged in this process. You know, 250 years ago, very brave people set out and fought and pledged their lives, property, and on honor to form a new system of government. And it's ours to protect. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Are you willing to come back on and let us learn more about what
Absolutely.
You believe in?
Absolutely. I would love to.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. That's Seth Bodner. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. This is Courtney Kibblewhite, your guest host today. And man, what an interesting conversation with Seth Bodner, independent candidate for U.S. Senate here in Montana. I've been anxious to get to talk to him ever since we heard he was running as an independent. He had to run out to another campaign event. So we've got some time to chat about what does Montana think about this independent candidate? Do people buy that the donors are... you know, some of them are to the left, as one of our callers mentioned. And in fact, I was going to pull up for you. An article came out in The Atlantic recently mentioning some of the mega donors, including LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, Michael Novogratz, a cryptocurrency investor, Microsoft heir Rory Gates, just some of the early investors from that campaign. I don't know. Don't know if they're or what the big ones might be from the GOP side. But you certainly, I understand the question. If someone is choosing to run as an independent, they're getting their funding. You can't imagine that there's not some connection to funding to where somebody might choose to vote. So curious what Montana thinks about Seth and about some of his comments. So feel free to call in and join the conversation with me. That number again is 866-627-5483. We'd love to hear from you. One of the questions that I was hoping to get to ask Seth Bodner that I really didn't have time for today was about the timing of his choice to run as an independent. Because I don't know about you, but when our current Senator Steve Daines chose to pull out of the election, really at the last minute before the filing deadline, and had his had somebody that he had really picked, Kurt Almay, who you've heard has come on our show as well, and Kurt mentioned about that timeline. If you want to go back and listen, I know we've got that podcast on our website, but Kurt mentioned about his joining in the race, and it made me wonder, would Seth have still run as an independent had he known that Senator Daines wasn't going to run? Maybe he would have ran as a Republican. Maybe he would have ran as a Democrat. I'm not sure, but I've heard some conversations and whispers that having Seth Bodner run as an independent was a move to kind of get that currently conservative seat away from the GOP. So an interesting conversation there. I'd say the points that I appreciated that Seth made was about making Montana politics more of a conversation. I understand that we can, you know, stand in our end zones and wave our flags and say, I'm never going to cross that line. I'm never going to cross that line. But are there points when concessions are important, when meeting in the middle actually finds the solution that's may not be the ideal solution for everyone, but as a majority, as a democracy, is that, you know, where our founding fathers intended us to go? That's a big question in my mind. Good morning and welcome to Voices of Montana. Who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Dusty Crary from Shoto.
Hey, Dusty.
And I caught in on that late, and then I couldn't get your phone number. Anyway, when you were interviewing Seth, I did catch the one where the fellow seemed a little unsure about how to ask it, but when it came to, the men and women sports question, I guess I didn't hear, all I heard was everyone should be treated with dignity. I didn't hear whether or not the candidate supported or disapproved of men competing in women's sports, at least through, you know, school, high school, college. And then I'll just real quickly, and I'll get off. If you could, did the SAVE Act come up? Does he support that? And then where is he on the filibuster? Would he, did that question came up? I think that's probably good for now. So thank you.
Thanks, Dusty, for the call. And just to answer your question straight away, we did not get to the SAVE Act or the filibuster. I know when Tom had to be out today, he was really jealous. So and Seth mentioned he'd be willing to come back because I do think, especially with an independent candidate, we just have to know where they stand on certain things. And it's not obvious by the color. So great questions. In regards to Dusty's question related to men participating in women's sports, you know, his answer was very much, as you mentioned, he talked about the respecting everyone's dignity. And then he also talked about his role as the president of the University of Montana and having to follow that policy. So in that role, that's what he did in order to keep University of Montana a member of NCAA. Now, to me, from that answer, I couldn't tell you exactly how we would vote, but you hear some. I don't know. That's one of the hard things about interviewing politicians sometimes. And we only had so much time, so we didn't push too far. So, you know, maybe that would be a question that we should continue to ask. So, all right, let's go to line two. Curious what Bill in Billings has to say. Bill, good morning.
Well, good morning to you. And you know what I'd really like to point out to the listeners is if somehow Bodner did get elected, that would take away one Republican Senate seat, and that could very possibly turn the Senate over to the Democrats. That's why the far left is sending him tons of money, and he's far left. You can dance around instead of answering questions and talk in all of these wonderful platitudes about, oh, how we've got to correct this and correct that. But he's to the left, and if he is elected, the Senate could go Democrat, and that would be a disaster for our country. So that's my opinion, and you've got to kind of not pay attention to all the good platitudes that people use and go with what's going to be the outcome if they're elected. Thanks, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Bill, for sharing your opinion. I think it's important that we get to hear what pops out to other people in these conversations, and it can always be hard to sort through what somebody is really, really saying. So thank you, Bill, for calling in. If you want to join the conversation, we've got another 10 minutes here. Our call-in number, 866-627-5483. Would love to hear from you. Do you believe the rhetoric that Seth Bodner is an independent that wants to work for the people, or do you have some skepticism about some of the liberal backing, or maybe you don't think he's liberal at all, and you think that that he's more to the right than is coming across? I'd be curious what people think. We've got another call from Kyle in Billings. Let's bring Kyle up. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Courtney. Good morning. I'm doing pretty well. You know, listeners, don't forget that Bodner is backed by former Senator John Tester. Okay, a lot of the problems we're seeing today are a result of 16 years of Tester that said he was a farmer, but he failed the farmers and all Montanans. We don't need another Tester protege getting elected. So Bodner is not independent. He's far left. He is blue. He talks agriculture, but I can tell you what, the guy's never been in a tractor, guys. He's never rode a horse. He does not know agriculture. You know, the other thing is president of the University of Montana, folks, he drove the graduation quality, the quality of education into the ground at the University of Montana. I graduated there with a doctorate of pharmacy, folks. And the testing standards 20 years ago was high. What they've done is they've decreased enrollment, increased the tuition fees for our students, and then they lowered the testing standards at the University of Montana so kids do not have to study, kids do not have to be educated to graduate. As a small business owner, I go to hire these graduates from the University of Montana, folks. They are not ready for the workforce. What Bodner has done, as he has failed Montana's future at the University of Montana. And if you elect him, if you donate to him, he will fail Montana for the future. That is my stance. And you can disagree with me if you want, Courtney, but that's the thing is, Bodner has failed Montana already.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, but in full transparency, I'm not going to agree with you either, shall we say? In full transparency, this Kyle Austin, right? Also running in the U.S. Senate race, correct?
Yes, this is Kyle Austin, candidate for United States Senate. And we've been on the show before, and a lot of people listen to my show on Sundays on My Fellow Montanans, and so they probably recognize my voice.
Yeah, I was going to say, I recognize it too. And Kyle, thank you for your opinion. You're also running in a different party than folks are used to hearing, the Libertarian Party. So Kyle, thanks for your call. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. This is Courtney Kibblewhite, your guest host. Today we've been talking, we had as a guest Seth Bodner, independent candidate for U.S. Senate, and he had to leave halfway through, so then we get to talk about him. But I appreciate getting to hear from different Montanans on this. We're going to go to the phones. We've got another call from Mike in Townsend. Mike, curious to hear what you thought of the conversation.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, he's definitely just another Democrat. You know, when you ask people if you're for or against men and women's sports, I've never heard anybody that was against it say, well, I'll follow the law. When they say, oh, I'll follow the law or I followed the law, that's just getting around saying, yes, I'm okay with that. And I don't think Montanans are okay with that. And then the other thing he talked about, I only caught the last few minutes of it. He talked about, you know, we need comprehensive immigration reform. Well, every other time we've had comprehensive immigration reform, it's amnesty. And I'd like to know, when he says, you know, we need reform, what parts of it does he feel aren't working right now and need to be changed? And what, you know, and what parts of it are working right now that you would need to keep? So I think it's just, you know, the importance of getting past those platitudes and getting down to, okay, then how would you fix it? Because I think when they come down to it, they either don't have a plan or their plan is, you know, aligned with one party or the other. And that's kind of just what I got off of the part of what I heard.
Well, thank you for that comment, Mike. And I totally get what you're saying there, because you can say immigration reform, healthcare reform, whatever. But okay, now let's talk some specifics here about what changes you're talking about and see if they align with my opinion. Did you hear his comments on the Iran war?
Well, which I thought was very interesting, because he says Congress needs to, you know, get involved. Well, going all the way back to Washington and Jefferson, you know, they did operations and stuff and did not go through the Congress, because you can't. You know, if you have to go to the Congress to get approval for everything you do, they'll handcuff the ability to work in our interests. You know, and I didn't hear him say anything about, you know, that when Obama and previous presidents did the exact same thing in different places, you know, he didn't bring that up. It's just very much aligned with the Democrats that Iran action bad, Ukraine action good, and keep pumping money in there. And so it's just, you just listen to the answers and you might as well just put a D behind his name.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because we were talking, you know, offline before getting on this morning, and he did express a major concern about our nation's debt, mentioning that now our debt is even bigger than our gross domestic product, which is pretty concerning. That's maybe not something you hear as much from a Democrat side, but that's the challenge here with having an independent candidate really trying to understand. And interesting in that I haven't tallied all the calls, maybe Cody has, but we haven't had one yet that said, you know, they 100% agree that he's right down the middle. So I'm not sure what that says, and I guess everyone gets to make their own decision. If you don't sign that ballot, you won't see his name on there, but if you're interested in seeing Seth Bodner's name, he's got to collect 13,000 signatures. We also didn't quite get a clear answer on where they are at in collecting those, but that's all the time we've got for today, folks. Thanks for joining me. Hope you have a great weekend in Montana. This is Courtney Kibblewhite with Voices of Montana.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.